All right, we have a very special treat here. We have Pastor Tim Norlin, who is going to be given the uncompromised word of God, and it's going to be amazing. This is a man of great wisdom and experience who serves all ages, all nationalities, all around the world. He's been ministry for a very long time, and he is going to give a seasoned word that I know. Please come up here. Please come up. So please welcome Pastor Tim Norlin as he comes and delivers the word. So, thank you so much, Pastor.
So I was asking the Lord, gee, I get to share. I am excited. What would I like to share about? And he said, Thanksgiving. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, anyway, I've been going to church for, my dad was a pastor, all right, just so you know. And so I've been saved for 57 and a half years, something like that. So Pastor T.L. and I have had great chats because he basically grew up in church too, all right. So I remember him telling me, you know, they didn't have, you know, nice seats like this. They had pews like I had, you know. And of course, we talk about the scuffle, how we could basically make it around the church, you know, and he has his name etched underneath a pew. I didn't do that, actually, but in his home church. So we're encouraging you to, you know, keep your kids in church, Sunday school, you know. Osmosis is great. I mean, they're going to catch some things, you know, but actually they get very good teaching here and all that type of thing. So the fear I have of when I talk about something like Thanksgiving is if you're like me, you have been to at least many, many Thanksgivings and many, many concepts that are already in your mind. And so that's the hard thing about talking about a topic that everybody knows. So what happens is you actually learn things line upon line and precept upon precept. And so you may not catch some of the things that I'm saying, and some of it might hit you later, and then some of it you may already have known for decades, and you're just working on it and all that kind of thing. But I'm going to share somewhat about my progression of where I'm at this point. Who knows where I'll be next year, but at this point where I'm at in the concept of Thanksgiving, okay? And so go ahead. I did a PowerPoint so I would stay on track, all right? So when they go to the next slide, it's going to get me back to whatever I might have been off on, all right? So first slide, please. There it is. See that little word in? That was my first concept of Thanksgiving. And, of course, Jessie started preaching our sermon last week when she shared the offering. But she said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So tells us a couple of things. I can give thanks in any situation. All right? So my progression was is I thought I had to give thanks for everything. And a lot of things happened. And I just really, honestly, truthful, was not very thankful about it. All right. Just to be honest with you. So here it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. So if you're in church, you give thanks. That's usually the easy place. But if you're at work, wherever you might be, in whatever situation you might be going in, the key word there is in everything give thanks. All right. So go ahead to the next slide. Putting you on the spot. Oh, you're good. All right, so now in Ephesians it says, giving thanks always, and then it puts the word for in there. Well, here's the thing. I didn't necessarily want to give thanks for everything, but then I got to read the fine print. It says, giving thanks always for all things, and then what's it say? Unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so now, not going to mention any radio stations or different things, but there's a teaching out that says that no matter what happens to you, you need to be thankful, all right? And that would be true if you were the only person in the world and there were no other factors happening around your life, okay? But here, the key thing is we are going to, in every situation, no matter how you've screwed your life up, no matter what you've done, no matter what someone else has done to you, in everything, we can give thanks. We can do it in that situation. But then we're going to be able to give thanks for all things, but we're not going to give thanks for all things that are not unto God. Okay? And this was a major concept. Now, I didn't catch this one until 16, 17, 18, all right? This was a revelation that kind of came simultaneously to getting filled with the Holy Spirit with me, okay? So, but the fact that I didn't have to be thankful for everything that happened was just life-changing to me. And if you never had that concept ingrained in you as a kid, that's great. And a lot of our kids now have been taught they don't have to give thanks for everything that happens to them, all right? They're getting bullied at school. They don't have to be thankful for that because that's not on to God. If you have sickness in your body, you don't have to be thankful for that because that is not God's will. If you are stressed out and not able to feed your family and have your needs met, that is not of God. And you do not have to be thankful for that because that is not on to God. All right? So this is a major thing for me as I'm walking my Christian walk, was to say, I'm still going to be thankful in every situation, okay? But I'm not necessarily going to be thankful for every situation, okay? And to me, I hope that changes something for you there. Okay, next slide. And we're just going to give you some scripture. So I used to be kind of just going through life, so I'd be going down, and then I'd be see something over here, and of course it would distract me, and it wasn't what I was probably supposed to be doing, or something terrible would happen over here, and it would actually hurt me. And I had somewhat of the mentality that they have through the whole entire Old Testament, is that it happened, it must be God's will. And that is a major concept that has to be chopped down at the roots, because we know what God's will is from the Bible and through everything that he's teaching us, okay? So I wanted to do this at the beginning, but I just thought of it now. So everybody grab your Bible and what you use as a Bible, your phone or whatever, and just say this. Say, this is my Bible. It is God's word to me. It's actually a love letter to me. And if I know God loves me, I know when he says what I should do in this Bible, I know it's his will for my life. So therefore, if something happens that's not his will, and it's not in the Bible, then I don't have to receive it. I can walk in the truth of God's word, and that will be more real to me than any lie I've ever previously been taught. And I thank you that the Holy Spirit's my teacher, and he will lead and guide me into all truth. He will not allow me to be deceived. And he will not allow Satan to accuse the brethren. And he will not allow Satan to deceive me. Because I am believing in faith that his word is a light unto my path. Therefore, I know where to go whenever I have a question. God will speak to me through his word, and the Holy Spirit will be my teacher for every specific thing I need to know. And I believe it in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if you know how powerful that is. Because you got to have an anchor for your soul. You can't be just tossed to and fro by every single thing that happens in your life. There are so many people that love God, and they are called, and they're predestined to be conformed into his image. But because they don't have an anchor, I mean, I have been doing this long enough that I have seen a lot of people burst into flames and do glorious things for God, and then fizzle out and just be almost snuffed out, and like almost to the point of Paul praying, you know, Lord, take them out of here before they lose their salvation type of thing, you know? And so if you don't understand, and if you don't know that when God puts a principle in the Bible, even if you blow it, and I mean, God's not expecting perfection. Here's where people start, and then they think, oh, I can't do it or whatever. No, but if you understand where you're headed, the light of where you're going, and who is on your side, then you have the power to make it through there. So here it says, and this is how I have now, this is what I call the dividing verse of the Bible. I know Psalms 118 has a verse that says, trust in the Lord, and that could be, you know, it's the center verse, more verses, whatever, and it's a good principle. But to me, everything that happens to me in my mind now goes through this filter, okay? This is the filter it goes through. The thief, and this is in John chapter 10, if you read the context of it, it's talking about Jesus being the good shepherd, okay? But it says, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy, and I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. All right, so anything that happens to you, if you're going to give thanks unto God, then it's got to be something that happened unto God. If it's not, then it's the thief coming to steal, kill, and destroy, and then you take a whole different approach to what that activity or what that thing is. All right? And so if it's trying to do any of those things, it's just common sense. So what I'm trying to tell you today is any religious teaching that you have that told you to throw your brain out, let's just put it back where it belongs. God gave us a brain. And just because you're religious doesn't mean you throw your brain away. Okay? And so the thief cometh not. Next verse, please. So James 1:17, every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, of whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. All right, I thought it was great when I mentioned this verse to my son. He thought of his wife. That was God. I thought that was good. I also think of my wife. But, you know, a spouse and a who you surround with and those relationships, remember the three R's that we have here? Reading, writing, arithmetic? No. Every good and get perfect gift. Gifts come and come in forms of people that God puts in your life too. All right? So you got the word and you got people to help you to be thankful for. So really part of Thanksgiving, and that's why it's great to spend time with your families and to have, you know, people in your life and to do all that type of thing. Let's go to the next verse. So God is not confused. That's the reason I'm putting this here, okay? God is not a schizophrenic. He doesn't put something on you and then, oh, I didn't really mean to do that, or, you know, they were supposed to do this, and, you know, the whole learning concept, that's like another three-hour series. Anyway. But we're thinking Thanksgiving. So I can be thankful in every situation, but I can be thankful for every situation unto God. Then I'm dividing it through John 10:10, and then everything good comes from God. So now let's see what we're going to talk about next. All right, so now here's an example of Jesus while he was on the earth, and Jesus had a pretty effective healing ministry. You guys agree with that? You know, he had a pretty effective healing ministry. So this is talking about the 10 lepers in the context of John 17. So I'm just going to read this. And of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. This is one of the 10 that were healed, okay? And with a loud voice, glorified God and fell down at his face. What did he do? Giving him thanks. All right, so we're talking about Thanksgiving. And he was a Samaritan. He wasn't even a Jew. How about that? And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God except for this stranger. And perhaps the other 9 might even have been Jewish. Who knows? But anyway. And he said unto him, arise and go thy way. Thy faith had made thee whole. I'm going to link the concept of thanks and faith and wholeness. One of the keys to having everything that God wants you to have and to walking in his fullness is faith, but a key to faith is thankfulness. See here what he said? When he turned around, he gave thanks, and what did Jesus say? Thy faith had made thee whole. What do you mean? He just said thanks. But Jesus said, thy faith had made thee whole. This is a revelation. So if you can be thankful, not for, but in every situation, and you can believe that God's word is true and be thankful for what God's done for you, it's actually going to make you whole. Now see, leprosy is symbolic of sin and the results of sin. Okay, so sin brings death, but what happens if we don't have leprosy around here a lot, but what happens is things start to rot and decay and fall off. And you could lose your nose. People with leprosy sometimes don't even have any nose, or their ears and their fingers start, you know, they like have little nubs, like tiny little nubs and toes. And that's why that when you see them, if you watch the movies of them, they're wrapped in cloths and their fingers down there, and they're all right away, and they're like, yeah. So even if they get healed, so they have no more leprosy in them, that didn't mean that they were whole, but this one, so all the rest went back, because when they go back to the temple, then the priest has set things. You know, he's got a thing, and he's got to put it on. He's got to see if a hair will grow out of it, and, you know, all this stuff. There's a whole, you can read Deuteronomy, I'll put you to sleep, but there's a whole lot of stuff. But they have the set, and they know. I mean, it's pretty obvious they're going to know whether or not you're healed. So the other nine are healed. But if you want to be beyond healed, just getting by and just being healed, and you want to be what? Whole. Then you get an attitude of gratitude, and you start giving thanks to God for everything that's going on. And that's actually your faith and action that God loves you and that he's moving on your behalf and that he's doing all these things. And so they were then, their faith had made them whole. And so by faith is not hard. Faith is just simply believing. And it's got substance, and you know whether or not you're in faith or not. So you know if you're really thankful for something, right? And so you're not thankful for a sickness, but in a sickness you can be thankful unto God. Because why? Because Jesus bore that sickness with his stripes. You can't be thankful for the fact that you're stressed out, that you don't have enough money, but you can be thankful for God that he has given you a way to supply all of your needs, and you can start thanking him that he's given you the ability to get wealth and that he's given you the wisdom and the next step of what to do, how to crawl out of a hole if you put yourself in a hole, and all that type of thing. So it's progressive. But the thankfulness can be all the time. It can be an underlying attitude of who you are. So no matter what you're going through, in it you can be thankful, right? Not necessarily for all this stuff that is trying to steal, kill, and destroy you. Because that's just stupid, okay? It's just stupid. All right, but you can become whole by giving thanks. Do you guys see that? I mean, this is black and white scripture. I'm not making this up. I'm not telling you. This is what Jesus said. Jesus told the leper that came back that the reason he is going to be whole now is because of his faith, and his faith was directly linked to what did he do? He didn't come back and say, hey, look at me. I have this great faith. He said, thank you, Jesus, for healing me. And Jesus said, oh, that's faith. He's a Samaritan. That is faith. Faith will never fail, okay? It'll get you what you need. So it made him whole. All right, next slide, please. All right, so now this is one. This is verse 28. I mean, we're not going to go into Job and all that kind of stuff. Just so you know, there's like 100 sermons that balance, I mean, that teach this principle. And so I'm just trying to give you like one sermon. And what's interesting about Job is I'm just going to briefly throw a blurb in here. Job ended up very rich, and there's some fantastic teachings on Job if you've been religiously taught wrong about Job. But one of the interesting things was the guy that gets up to talk before God himself gets up and talks was a young guy that waited for all the old guys just because they were old. They were supposed to know a lot. And I've been around long enough now to know that just because I'm old doesn't mean that that's why I should know something. Because there's a lot of old people that it's amazed to me now is because I keep thinking, oh, they're going to grow out of that stage. Or that they're all going to be past. But they can be old as the hills and still be like 6 or 7 years old in a certain area. So being old is not the key. The key is knowing and hearing from God and getting the wisdom of God. That's the key. Just being old doesn't necessarily make it good. All right, so I want to tie this verse. We know all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. That is a fantastic verse. And it's a totally 100% true verse. However, it has been misapplied to things that are trying to steal, kill, and destroy you many, many, many times that should not have been associated with steal, kill, and destroy. So here is the context of the verse. And, of course, we could preach you the whole book of Romans. If you came to one of my India classes, I'd get up and Raj would interpret in Telugu for you, and we would be going through this, which I'll be doing later tonight at 9:30. But anyway, it says, likewise the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not how we should, what? Pray. So this verse, I'm going to notice the conjunction in verse 27 is and in verse 28 is and. And I did take Greek. And even in the Greek, a conjunction with the word and means that they're linked together. Okay? So the context is we know not how we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And then in some translations say an articulate speak. So it's talking about just getting in with God and hooking up with God and being connected, even maybe even beyond tongues, but just groanings and just basically bearing your soul to God, because you are living this life and sometimes you just got to get real and sometimes you got to dig in and just not be que sera sera all the time. All right? Sometimes you just got to get real with God. And so when you're doing that, he, talking about the same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead that dwells in us, that searcheth the hearts, knoweth what is the what? The mind of the Spirit, which is going to agree with the Word of God, which is going to be a promise and something that is spelled out for you that we already know the will of God. In fact, if you're born again, you always know the will of God. You don't have to ask for somebody to tell you, because the greater one lives inside of you. You have the wisdom of God inside of you. You just need to listen to what God's telling you to do. Therefore, church counseling could be very much virtually nil, because everybody knows. You know, I don't have to go to somebody to find out how to live with my wife. I have the Holy Spirit inside of me, and plus she has a very good mouth that she can just tell me what I need. I can ask her, and she can say, "Dear, do this and don't do that." Does that make sense? And so I don't have to call the prayer line. I don't have to do all of these things, because I have the greater one that lives in me, and he that searcheth the same that he knows what the mind of the Spirit is, and he makes intercession for all the saints according to the will of God. And then when you do that, when you pray and you connect with God, then you get that release, you've been praying with the Lord, then what can you do? You can walk out of there and you can go, "Hey, I know all this is going to work out for good." That is the only time you can use that verse. You cannot use that verse for something that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It's illegal and it's wrong. It's a no-no. You're just going to get yourself a headache. All right? So, I wouldn't know exactly how this was going to come across. I just knew I had these scriptures. All right, so next one here, okay? All right, praying in tongues in the Spirit. So, as I mentioned, I got this revelation, 16, 17, 18, somewhere in there, of being thankful. At the same time, I grew up in a pastor's home, and my parents I have the best parents in the world. So I have a hard time relating to people that, you know, just didn't have good parents. However, I was never taught against the baptism of the Holy Spirit till I went away to Northwestern Bible College. So I went to Northwestern Bible College, and at Northwestern, and it's a good college, but it was founded by Billy Graham, who, by the way, has been filled with the Holy Spirit. But anyway, that's another thing. But at the time, they told me that speaking in tongues and the gifts of the Spirit had all died away with the last disciple or apostle, and that was all done away with. And before that, I hadn't really been taught for or against it, okay? I'll just kind of give you an idea. I grew up in the church, and there's a lot of, and so I grew up with the concept of not of the spectator sport. I always saw stuff in the church that I wanted to have fixed and changed, all right? So my dad would just tell me, well, he's the pastor too, that helps a little bit. He'd say, well, if you don't like something, it's probably because you're supposed to do something about it, right? So back then we ran our youth group. We had elections and we had kids. But anyway, I would just do whatever it is I felt like the Lord wanted me to do. So I bought the ping pong table for the church. I put the weight set in there. I'm the one that paid for the sound system to go in the church, and because I was part of the church, right? So usually what the things that bug you about something, I'm just gonna throw this out here because I know Pastor TL has. He's talking about everybody getting involved. The thing that bugs you, I almost can guarantee that's the thing you're supposed to be doing something about. All right? Because you're the body of Christ, and we're all in this together. All right? So just use that as a, hey, Lord, give me the wisdom. And, of course, you have to get the authority, but, you know, find out and be sure to share what's bugging you, because you're the one that probably needs to be taking care of it. I'm just throwing that out there. Okay. All right, so anyway, I'm at Northwestern College, and I'm going to do a summer internship because I'm going for ministries. I'm going to go into ministry, and I'm going to change the world, okay? I was. And so I, because my dad was a pastor, I was a president of our youth group, I had done all kinds of different things, I was nominated to become the pioneer of Christian ministries for national parks for a brand new park that they have never been to. And I don't know how many of you go camping and all that kind of stuff, but a Christian ministry in national parks is, and of course it's been a few decades since I've done this, so I'm not sure if they're still doing it, but at the point that I did this back in 1979, they were the only ones authorized to be in the parks to hold services. So my internship was to go to the Blue Ridge Mountains into the Linville Falls campground and pioneer a work where on Saturdays I would go knock on all the campers' doors and I would hand out flyers and invite people to come to my Sunday morning service in the amphitheater outside and have services. So I was going to change the world, okay? So I get there, and my internship is for basically the entire summer, and I can't stay at the campground because you can only stay in a campground for 30 days at a time. So I found a campground around the corner, like 5 miles or something like that, off the campground, but a personal campground, and I set up in a little camper that was about the size of this wide, and from here to here. Have you seen those little like igloo kind of camper things? I mean, like rinky dink. My grandpa used it for hunting, but I lived in it. All right. So I'm living in this camper, and I doing this. I'm going out, and it's just like terrible. And it's the first time I've been away from any other Christian influence. I mean, there's no other Christians there, so I get a job working road construction during the week because you still have to support yourself because it's a pioneer thing. Nobody, you know, supports you. And so I'm working road construction with some real hillbillies, okay? I mean, they have drive-by shootings and they're not saved by any means. And the only person that I have a contact with is there was an Episcopal priest who would allow me to come into his church to run off bulletins, and this is how long this was, you know, where you had a mimeograph thing, and you'd put it on, and you'd crank it around, and you'd run off these bulletin things. This is really dating me. Okay, so anyway, about 4, 5, 6 weeks probably have gone by, and in the meanwhile, nobody's coming hardly to my services, and it's crappy, and I'm getting somewhat depressed, but God sent this big camper to the campground right next to me with these people that are, and they're in their 80s, and they're old, but they're rich, okay, and they are just, they have this camper that's like, well, it's probably the length of this room here, okay, and big, like, I mean, huge, okay, and then they hand me these books like 9 o'clock in the morning, Happiest People on the Planet Earth, and they asked me if I've been filled with the Holy Spirit. And I said, well, yes, I've been filled with the Holy Spirit. You get filled with the Holy Spirit when you've been born again. I've been born again since I was, you know, late threes. And they said, oh, well, that's interesting. They said, well, you would know. I said, well, then after a while I got to think about it. They said, well, you would know if you're filled with the Spirit. And I'm like, well, I suppose I would, but. All right, so then back this up a little bit, and I might even mention some names here. No, I won't mention names. Okay, so I knew two people. I only knew two people that I knew that spoke in tongues, all right? I only knew two people, and one of them had been outside of our house, and he was trimming the trees that came into Arena, and he hit the power line with his chainsaw, 50,000 volts of electricity. It blasted him out of the bucket, And he was deader than a doornail. It blew his boots off of him. And they literally said they had tar on the bottom of his feet, a half inch thick of tar. Well, his partner was the other guy that I knew that prayed in tongues. And his partner comes over there and raises him from the dead. And but what they did was they quit working their jobs. And they went out and they would go to every bar and everything they could find and they started witnessing. They were getting tons of people saved. But their brain just didn't make sense. So my dad, as the pastor, we would take half our food sometimes on Sundays, go over to their house and feed their kids along with us and try to take care of, because they were just gone. And it was just no common sense. So anyway, I did not want to become like that, all right? Even though they spoke in tongues and even though they had a great miracle. I just didn't want, it just made an impression on me. I did not want to be like that. So my idea, if anything was going to happen with the gifts of the Spirit, was somebody was going to get in a car crash, and then I was going to run over and pray for them and raise them from the dead, or raise them up. That was the only thing I was open for. Praying in tongues, because that was for weirdos, okay? Praying in the Spirit was not going to happen to me because I'm not a weirdo. I am together. My dad's a pastor, and I walk with God. And I am not going to be doing that, all right? So this is, you got to understand, this is kind of where I'm coming from, all right? It's a tough thing for me, okay? So anyway, there's a lot of details to this, okay? Some other pastor's daughter came in that studied bugs, and she didn't think anybody even go to hell or anything, so she was no help or anything. So anyway, I go to a Christian bookstore. They're talking about people getting filled with the Holy Spirit. I have them. I finally got to the point after reading these books and talking to these people that had had miraculous healings and stuff happen to them that lived in this humongous camper that I wanted to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay? I mean, I at least my brain said I did. Okay? So I remember these people in this Christian bookstore in Boone, North Carolina, who later went and moved to Monterey, but they took me in the back room and they prayed for me to get filled with the Holy Ghost. And they laid hands on me and just started praying away. And then they were kind of puzzled because nothing happened. And they're like, we don't get this because everybody we lay hands on gets filled with the Holy Ghost. And they said, well, maybe you just need to praise the Lord and, you know, get into worship and just, you know, maybe it'll come on out. So anyway, I'm going to tell you a few more of these details. How am I doing time-wise? Okay. So anyway, I decided that I was going to do another spiritual thing because this was spiritual, right? Praying in tongues and being filled with the Spirit. So I'm going to fast. And still to this day, I'm not the best faster. But anyway, there was a restaurant there called Green Eggs and Ham. So if you're going to fast, you don't want to, like, not eat. So I went to Green Eggs and Ham and ordered everything on the menu, pretty much, not everything. You know, I got a good, healthy meal because if I was going to fast, I wanted to, you know, be prepared. So I'm going to fast until I get filled with the Holy Ghost because they did pray for me and I wanted it, okay? So then Boone was about probably 40 miles from the campground, you know, a good hour in the mountain driving anyway. So I put on some music and they said, maybe if you just praise and worship God, you can do that kind of thing. So I did that. Absolutely nothing happened really, okay? So 2 days later after this, now I have fasted for 2 whole days, and granted, I'm fasting, plus I'm working road construction, all right? So the morning of the third day, the old guy from across the street says, how are things going? And of course, he's the one that's been talking to me about getting filled with the Holy Spirit and giving me the books, and then I ran into these other people and all that kind of stuff. And so I said, just terrible. I said, I'm about to starve to death. Because it's only been 2 days. Like I said, I'm not that good a faster. I said, I'm about to starve to death. I've been fasting to receive the Holy Spirit, and it's just not happening for me. And he says, well, come on over after work tonight, and we'll lay hands on you and anoint you with oil from the Holy Land. And I said to myself, I don't want that, but that sounds even dorkier than the other stuff. But you know, I worked all day. I was like needing something to happen, okay? So, all right, so this is probably more details than anybody cares to know, but so I actually go home and I take a shower quick and then run over there, and then they set me in the middle of their camper, and they do have bottle of oil from the Holy Land, and they pour it on my head, and so in the meanwhile, this really wasn't even fair at all. This lady had been cooking this amazing meal that you can smell all over in the camper. So by now, I am starving. And they prayed some stuff, and I said maybe like one or two syllables, you know, in tongues, and they said, well, that's it. You know, you're doing it. That's it. I'm truthfully in my head. I do not think I'm praying in tongues. Okay. But anyway, but I knew enough about faith, all right, a little bit of faith. So what I said, plus I'm starving, I said, I just believe I received this by faith, and I'm going to have a good meal. So I sit down and I eat this great meal. I eat this meal. And this is almost how it gets like movie-like. Okay, so now after dinner, it had been nice all day. There's this humongous rainstorm coming in. It's pitch dark, thunderstorms, all that kind of stuff. And I went over to that one girl whose dad was a pastor. I was just going to ask her, you know, what do you think about this? I just got to know. But anyway, I knocked on her door. She didn't even answer, but then I realized it was just dumb. So I decided I'm going to hike to Linville Falls. It's like 10 o'clock at night, okay? Pitch dark in a rainstorm, and it's pouring rain. Now, the thing of it is I knew there was a trail there, but I had never, ever walked it before because it's from the other campground that just walks its way back to the Linville Falls. So anyway, I am out there, and I am singing, Fill My Cup, Lord, and I'm just having this totally spiritual time with God. I mean, I'm like at desperate point in my, at least at that point I was thinking I was. Anyway, all right? And I'm actually literally sliding down the side of some cliff-like things, catching branches and pulling myself up and just following this trail through till I get to the top of the falls. Now, you may not know this, but waterfalls, even though it's pitch dark, will put off light at night when they're going over because of the energy that's going off. So all I could see is the glow from the waterfalls. And then at this point in my praying in tongues life, I got four words in tongues, and I knew I had to have an interpretation because if he that prayeth in tongues must interpret. Okay, so I got the interpretation, the Lord is victorious. And I was just having a moment. I'm looking at the waterfalls, it's pouring rain, I don't care, the Lord is victorious, and I am awesome, doing great. God and I have connected. I have been filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, that was really good till I had to find my way back home. I did not know how to get back home very well. I made it home about 3 hours later, approximately 3 o'clock in the morning. And by the time I made it home, guess who was in my ear? The devil. Oh, you're such a religious fanatic. You just make things up. You're just like crazy. You just think that you could just do whatever. You're just stupid. Why would you do that? Why would you hike all the way up to the top of the mountain like that? That's just dumb. And believe me, it probably was dumb. But anyway. So I got into my trailer, and trust me, it's like this big, okay? So I'm laying in the bed. There's a kitchen sink there, and I had a record player. What those are, right? Those are record players, those round things. And they put playing a vinyl on there. And I had an album called Dave's Prayer, okay? And the words to the song on Dave's Prayer are, got to know you're there, Lord, I got to know you're there. Anyway, I put that on, and I'm just reviewing the activities in my brain for the last 4 days, last several week here. And what happened is the words to the old guy, and he's very old, that was at the camper that poured oil on me and all that kind of stuff, he said something to the effect of, you're not going to pray in tongues until you decide you want to do it. He assumption to the effect of Peter never walked on the water till he got out of the boat and started walking on the water. And basically he was telling me that until I just start actually using my mouth and start praying in tongues, that I'm the one that has to do it. Because till this point, it was like God had to do it. Does that make sense to you? Like God had to do it for me, because I wasn't going to make this up, because I'm not a maker-upper kind of guy. And so God that's the way I was thinking, is God was going to have to come down and make me pray in tongues. And when I did get up on the thing, I did get four words in tongues. But that was just kind of like a priming the pump starter thing. So anyway, I then just laying there, nothing exciting, laying in this tiny little camper thing with this album going, started praying in tongues. And the coolest thing to me was that I could stop it, I could start it, I could just go. So I fell asleep in praying in tongues. And the next morning I woke up and I could do it again. I could still do it. I could pray in tongues. The next morning I got up and I could pray in tongues. So I've been working like 6 weeks road construction. The next morning, probably before 10 o'clock in the morning, I get three of my coworkers born again. But here I was the pastor the whole time. I was the preacher guy the whole time. And I get three guys built, saved. And then, I have like 10 miracles I could tell you about. But let's just read this, get back to my context. My clock still says 10 o'clock because the battery's dead. Let's see what this one says. Oh, 3 minutes. Okay. All soldiers should bless with the Spirit. How shall they that the occupy at the room of the unlearned and say amen at thy giving of? What was I doing? I'm blessing with the Spirit and I'm giving thanks. When you pray in tongues, when you pray in the Spirit, when you're blessing in the Spirit, you're giving thanks, you're making yourself whole, you are praying out the will of God in your life. All things will work together for good to those that believe in him. For thou variously givest thanks well. All right, now this is talking about the order in a church service, but the point I'm trying to make is for Thanksgiving, the greatest way that you can give thanks is by praying in the Spirit. All right? You give thanks well, that's going to make you whole. Praying in tongues will make you whole. Okay? I promise to be done in 3 minutes, so flip through the next slide. Are promises made to be broken? Anyway, I guess they... 1 Corinthians 14:12, even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. All right, so this is why we do this. We're all part of the body, and we all want to edify the church. The more whole you are, the more whole the church is. And the more you can bring, the more you can edify, the more you can do that. Next one, we are going to fly through this. Okay, but the manifestations are given to everyone. So it's just not a selected few. It's just not Pastor Tim Norland or Pastor T.L. or Pastor Tim Jorgensen. It's for everybody. And then this is what it says. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or if one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. So basically, I'm asking you as part of the body of Christ to pray in the Spirit and pray in tongues and to be thankful and to be whole and not accept things from the devil. And know what the will of God is for your life and get with the program. That's kind of the bottom line of my message. All right. That's it, I guess. All right. See, I did it. Let me bless you and we'll be done. All right. Father, I thank you that you just take plain, ordinary people like us and that you put a supernatural God on the inside of us. And then you give us equipments and ability and a mindset in order to change the world. And you don't have a backup plan. You only have us. And you believe this so much that you sent Jesus, who made himself as a supreme offering unto God on our behalf. And so we just thank you that we can walk out in that and that your Spirit will remind us of your goodness and remind us to be thankful and encourage us to walk toward wholeness.